Well, let's get going. How many of you are waiting for an answer to prayer? How many of you are waiting? Or how many of you are waiting on a promise that has been laid on your heart and that you've been praying in? Well, I want to encourage you that you're in the right place at the right time today. I want to encourage you not to give up. I want to encourage you that your time is still coming. That this morning you witnessed something that has been prayed over for the past 22 years or so. And that that prayer was answered this morning. That call was answered this morning. So if I believe if God can answer my prayer, I'm 100% confident He can and He will answer yours. So have the faith to believe this morning. Open your heart to receive what He has in store. This morning, I titled my message, Living on a Prayer, and Pastor Tommy asked me if I wanted to rock some Bon Jovi as I got up here. I told him no. But the title is very appropriate, because how many of us live on a prayer? How many of us are waiting for something on a prayer that's taking some time? Okay? I want to encourage you this morning, keep the good faith. Don't give up, because your promise is coming, just as mine has. So this morning, my text is going to be out of Luke 8, starting at verse 40. If you don't mind, I ask that you stand with us as I read this word, in honor of His word this morning. Starting at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed Him, for they were all expecting Him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on His way, the crowds almost crushed Him. Verse 43. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak, and immediately. Her bleeding stopped. Page 45, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been healed instantly. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning her for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." How many of you know your dream is not dead? Your healing is not dead? How many people know that it is still alive? But they laughed at Jesus. They laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead. People know everything, right? But He took her hand by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Let us pray. Jesus, You have poured out something deep within my heart this morning that I'm asking You to bring back up from the depths of my heart to my mind and out of my mouth. With clarity, I ask, Father, that You touch my lips. You burn them, Father. Give me the words, Holy Spirit, to say this morning, to release Your truths, to release Your love, to release Your light. Father, let not one word be of mine up here this morning, But my heart's desire, Father God, is to clearly communicate what you've poured deep within my heart as I prepared. Father, have your way in the service. Say whatever you want to say. Do whatever you want to do. I will follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I wonder why God doesn't answer all of our prayers immediately, right? How many thinks that life would be so much easier when we would just pray and something would immediately happen? And I don't know about you, but I could live with whatever the answer is. I could live with the no's, I could live with the yeses, if I was told the time, right? Like sometimes we pray for different things and we're waiting on something, and sometimes the answer is a no and the answer is a yes, but we're waiting so long that we get frustrated and we get sidetracked in believing. And it would make life so much easier to just tell me, yes, this is the answer, no, and this is the time it's going to happen. And I could live with 22 years if I knew today was the day. Right? Couldn't we all do that? I think so. And it seems like some prayers get answered immediately. Some prayers take some time. And then there's other prayers just that we seem to be waiting and waiting and waiting. Now, I totally get Isaiah 55:9. The word says that the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I get that we think one way and he thinks another. We think what's the best for us, and we're praying for what we believe to be the best for us. He might not think the best for us, that his thoughts and his ways are higher, and we have to come to the realization that everything that we're praying for is not necessarily what's in our best interest. And in the end, he has what's in our best interest at heart. But that's hard to accept sometimes because we expect certain things our way. And we forget that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts sometimes. And I totally understand 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Sometimes we're waiting for something and we think a year or 5 years or even 10 minutes is a long time. And in his realm and what he believes, that's nothing to him, but to us it seems like forever. And we forget that. We forget that his timing and our timing are not the same thing. Today, I think the society we live in, I call it the microwave society. That's why I have a microwave here this morning. Somebody on Friday at our Bible study asked, so what's today's prop? What's Sunday's prop? Because I always bring something. Well, today's the microwave, and we'll get to it in a moment. But I think we live in this microwave society that everything has to be instant. Everything. If I pull out this phone, I can call someone in an instant and talk to them. I can text them, and instantly they get it. I can FaceTime somebody in a different country right now and instantly be talking to them. I can instantly ask this phone a question and it will give me an answer. It might not be the right answer, but it will give me an answer. We live in this life of that everything has to be instantaneous, that we expect a quick answer. We expect a quick resolution over and over at every moment of our lives. And there's so many instances in the Bible that this happens, that healing took place immediately. The blind man, think of the blind man. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed him immediately. What happened with the man with the withered hand? He stretched forth his hand, and his hand was immediately healed. But think about the man, the paralytic, on the mat. They dropped him before Jesus, and immediately, what did Jesus say? Pick up your mat, rise, and walk. Instant. There's so many more examples in the Bible that when healing happened immediately. But did you ever notice that there are times in the Bible that he didn't heal immediately? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we don't want to accept that. Today I want to look at one of those times. I want to go back through Luke a little bit and point out some things from the scripture that I read to you. Because I think we can all relate to Jairus. I can relate to Jairus. Not 22 years of waiting on today. I can relate to him waiting on the healing for his daughter. So let's look at verse 40 again for a moment. They're going to have it on the screen. It says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him." This is just like us, if you look at it. We're just like Jairus. Something big is going on in our life. We have a big prayer request. What do? We get on our knees and we plead with Jesus. We cry out to him. What does Jesus do in this passage? He listens. At this part in the passage, Jesus never says he's going to heal her. It just says Jesus is going to go on, was on his way with him. Jesus was walking with him. When we're on our knees and when we're praying, Jesus is listening to us, just as he did with Jairus. And as we walk day to day and we don't hear that immediate answer, we don't see that immediate answer, I believe it's just like this passage, that Jesus is walking with us. He's walking with us daily. Inside of us, the Holy Spirit is living within us. He's heard our prayer. We now just have to walk just as Jairus walked to when Jesus is going to release that healing, release that time. We can't stop. We have to continue on with this journey in life because he's with us. On his way, I can only imagine how Jairus felt. He got to Jesus. Jesus is going to walk with him. He's going to go. His daughter's going to be healed. I can just picture him talking to Jesus saying, "You know, my 12-year-old daughter, she loves to dance. She loves to sing. I'm going to be so excited the moment that she's healed, that she's out of that bed, that she's going to be dancing, the things that she loved to do. She's going to be doing it all again. My beautiful daughter is going to be restored." Then all of a sudden, the woman with the issue of blood happens. And they're walking, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops. Boom. In his tracks. They're surrounding him. And the woman touches him and gets healed immediately. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" "Well, there's tons of people around you, Jesus." "No, who touched me?" Now think about it. I wonder how Jairus felt. Jairus is on his journey. He's like, "Okay, I'm walking with Jesus. We're about a mile out from the house. I'm getting excited. We're a mile out. My daughter's going to be healed." And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. He could have kept going, but he stops. And Jairus has to stop and wait. Think about it. If Jesus didn't stop for the woman with the issue of blood, we'd already be at Jairus' house and his daughter would have been healed. But he has to wait. And not only does Jairus have to wait, Jairus has to deal with the fact that someone else immediately came up to Jesus and got the healing. What do you think Jairus is feeling? "Whoa, Jesus, you could have just spoke a word. You didn't really need to come to my daughter's house and you could have healed immediately. Yet I'm on this journey with you and now someone else just stops him, touches him, and is immediately healed." I can imagine Jairus just looking around and thinking like, "What about my daughter? Are you still coming with me?" How many times do we get frustrated as we wait for an answer to prayer? Or we wait for a healing? Or someone else gets their prayers answered? Yet immediately. How many times are we waiting on for something and then someone else that we know, their prayer got answered before ours? And we get sad and we get upset and we get frustrated. And some of us give up, to be honest. Or we get this whole feeling that we start feeling guilty. We start going, "Answered her prayer. Why not mine? What did I do? I must have done something wrong. He must not love me as much as he loves you. You, Ray." How many people know that's a lie? It's a lie. Don't ever accept that. Don't ever accept that thought in your head that if you see someone else that ends up being blessed, that someone else's promises happen, that someone else's be healing, rejoice for them. Rejoice for them. Praise God. Give him the honor that's due. Knowing that you can stand that what he did for her, what he did for him, he can do for me and he will do for me. Don't stop and turn it around and say, "Woe is me," because he still loves us. That's a daughter and a son. As we are daughters and sons, as we are rightful heirs to all the promises in the Bible. I don't understand why their day and their time is today, but I'm not going to deny that for them. I'm going to praise God and give glory that it happened for them, knowing that my day too shall pass. You know, I live this. Keep saying 22 years of waiting on today's moments. In college, I was part of a ministry, and there was a core group of us. And I'm going to tell you right now, all the rest of them ended up being pastors, and they're pastors at other churches. They have their own churches locally or in different states. And there was many days, I'm going to be honest with you, going, what about me, God? It was hard to wait. But I had the trust in the fact that the promise that he laid upon my heart was true. And that his timing is not my timing, that my timing was going to come. And it did today. And I'm going to tell you, looking back now, 10 years, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, I wasn't ready. He knew that. There was a time of preparation for me. That his timing, his ways, in my mind, I think, I'm ready. My thoughts, I'm ready. But his ways and his thoughts are higher than mine. And that he knew that I needed to go through different seasons of preparation to be able to get to the point that his timing was perfect to be released. And some of you are waiting on different things in your life, and I want to say this to you. It's not that they're not going to come to pass. That's a done deal. It's about the time that you right now are in the time of preparation. And when he's going to release it, it's going to come fast. It's going to be instantaneous. It's going to be a suddenly. And you have to come being expecting it. Don't give up on it. So what did Jairus do? Jairus looked around and saw the woman was healed immediately. What did he do? What did Jesus do? They kept going on the journey of life. He didn't walk away. He didn't give up. He kept going. So let's pick up back at verse 49. While Jairus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus. The synagogue leader, your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. How many times do we face this? Talking about what we're praying for with someone. Are people knowing what we're facing in life and they scoff and laugh at the fact that we have faith in Jesus, that he can heal and he hears our prayers? Have you ever been stopped for praying for something because somebody else said, God said you're going to do this? Nah, that's not true. Or God said you believe you're going to be healed? God's not going to heal you. We got to stop listening to people. Because people are going to tell you your dream is dead. People are going to say to you, there's no such thing as healing. And they're going to say, don't bother him anymore. I'm here to tell you today, don't listen to that. Never stop. Don't stop bothering Jesus. Here's Jesus' response that we got to hold on to. Because Jairus is at that moment. He looks around. He realizes she got healed. He's waiting. And he's kind of like looking around. What does Jesus finally tell him? He turns at verse 50. He says, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. And she will be healed. He finally got to the point knowing that he has not said that to him prior. But he said it to him now because he knew at that moment he had to reassure him that the healing was coming. There are moments and times that we got to keep believing and not give up. Mark 5:36 says the same thing. It says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. And that's what I believe Jesus would say to all of us this morning. Whatever you're believing for, whatever the promise you're waiting on is for, don't be afraid. Believe. Don't give up. In verse 51, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Verse 52, meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. And the people laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. How many people know? People know everything. Stop listening to people. They don't know anything. Who knows all things? God alone. Amen? But I want to look at these two verses a little more. Why do you think Jesus throws everyone else out but Peter, John, James, and her two parents? Because those are the ones who have the faith to believe. Stop talking to people that don't have the faith to believe and start surrounding yourself with people that do. That those moments when you're praying for something, when you're hurting and you're wondering, you're questioning, that there will be people standing by your side that will build you up, that will lift you up, that will continue to pray with you and believe that what God said will surely come to pass, that His promises are true and amen, and that we don't move and we do not waver. People will make you waver. Surround yourself with those that have the faith to believe for whatever you are praying for. People laughed at him. People told him the girl was dead. People think they know everything. But what voice are you listening to? To the people or to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who has that greatest voice in your life? Who would be the one that would say, do not be afraid, but only believe? In my situation here, for those of you that might have heard this, one other time I talked about this briefly. 22 years ago, I was at a youth camp, and there was a time of prayer. And we went through this forest to this. I found we had all time of prayer, separate, pray by yourself. And I went through this forest, and I found a rock that looked over this lake. And I sat up on the rock, and I was praying. And I heard an audible voice that said, you will preach to many nations. So loud and so clear to me that I turned around thinking someone was playing a joke on me in the woods, telling me, you will preach to many nations. That's how serious. I am completely serious. That's how clear it was to me. I was so excited that God had dropped that down to me, that it spoken to me so clear. I got down off that rock, excited, on fire, and went to the person that brought me there, one of my closest friends at the time. And I told her what God had spoken to me. And you know what she said? Why would God say that to you? He didn't say that to me. Ouch. How many of us know that we're praying and believing and all of a sudden people, believer or not, can speak words of life or death? It's the honest truth. So I went from here to here. Crushed. Got back. I didn't tell anybody else. I couldn't tell anybody else because I was like, maybe I'm wrong, right? We all have done that, right? So I came back to church, and I told one other person. He was the one that was mentoring me, and I told him, and this believer turned and said, if God said it, you believe it. It's going to happen. There was no doubt. There was no question on it. But I kept it in my heart. Now, later on, I mean, the story goes, Pastor Shirley, you know Pastor Shirley is. Pastor Shirley, the one service, said, stand up. Okay, so I stood up in the middle of the service, and she kept preaching. She said, I got a word for you for God. And she's preaching, just as I am now, and I'm standing there alone, looking around, waiting on Pastor Shirley. And if you've ever experienced that with Pastor Shirley, you know what I'm talking about. And then she said, finally, she said, I have a word for you. And word for word, now Pastor Shirley didn't know, word for word, she spoke exactly what that person spoke into me. What God said to me word for word, and then immediately and said, the first person you spoke to said this. And word for word told exactly what the girl said to me. How can you ever turn away from that and unbelief from that, right? Okay? God could do that for me. He could do that for you. He could do that for you. That was my moment that Jesus turned around and said, you just got to keep believing and standing on it. Whose voice are you going to listen to? But in the end, who truly gets the last word? It's not us. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 54. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up! And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. It's easy for us to live life when a prayer gets answered immediately. It's easy. But what happens when we don't get immediate answers? What, or when we're facing one of those life-altering prayers, one of those life-altering moments that we're kneeling and we're crying before God, what happens during those moments? Our faith is tested. Now I'm going to go to my microwave here and I'm going to use my prop. I'm pouring in our prayer. Pouring in your prayer. Hope it doesn't burn. Anyone a little uncomfortable waiting? Yeah. That was 60 seconds. That was 60 seconds. We have a hard time waiting. I mean, I wasn't even looking to really look at the time. I was like thinking, okay, the time. I'm going, it's not done yet? Like, even me up here going, man, this 60 seconds is taking a long time. We have a hard time waiting, let alone waiting for answers to our prayers. Was there any doubt the water would be warmed? Was there any doubt that water was going to be warmed? No. How many people know there's a difference between hope and faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I didn't hope that the water would be warm. I knew it would be. I had complete faith it would be warm. I didn't waver. I just had to wait my time. That's faith. When we pray, we have to stop hoping and start believing. We have to start having unwavering faith. Our hope is based on our five senses. It's based on our emotions. It's based on what we see around us. It's based on what people say to us. We have to knock that off. We have to set that aside. Our faith is based on the fact we know who we are in Christ. Our faith is based on His promises that are true and amen for our lives. Our faith is based on His Word. It's not what we see or what we feel or what we think, but it's based on truth in Jesus Christ. It's based on His promises. The hardest thing is that we have to accept the fact that He sets the timer. There was no doubt that that prayer was going to be answered. That's faith. I'm not hoping that it's going to be answered. It's going to happen. I just have to accept the fact that He's over here setting a time, and I have to wait my time. Now, the time in the microwave is about our walk with Him. It's really not about the answer to prayer. That's a done deal by faith. It's about the heat, the time, the pressures of life that challenge us during the time of the waiting. These are the moments that change us, that mold us, that strengthens our faith during our journey. The question is, when life is getting hotter, when there's unanswered prayers, does our faith in Jesus Christ waver? Does our faith in his promises waver that our prayers will be answered? It shouldn't. This should be a time that he molds us, that he molds us who he wants us to become, that we will not waver on the fact of what we see or what we think, but we will stand firm in the faith on the rock that cannot be swayed. Let us be reminded what the word says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. For we live by faith, not by sight. So what does that mean? In the simplest form, I don't live by my senses. I don't live on what I see or what someone else says to me, but I live my faith in Jesus Christ and on his promises and on what his word says. In that alone, I can stand while I wait. 22 years of waiting, but I can stand rest assured this day that again, he's proven to me and he's proven to you that his promises are yes and amen for those who believe. That's what this morning's about. Now I want to wrap up this message, so would you please stand with me? Prayer team and elders, would you please come down and stand in front of the altar facing out, please? I want to look at one more scripture. It's the story of the persistent widow towards the judge. How many of you know that? Can you keep that low, please, Kevin? How many of you know this story? This widow goes to this judge and wants justice. And she goes to the judge and she asks for justice and the judge denies her. She goes away and she comes back again and she's not done because she wants justice. So she goes back to the judge and the judge looks, I already saw you. Okay, whatever. And again, turns her away. Well, she kept going and going and going until the judge granted her request. And he said it had nothing to do with what she was asking for, but had everything to do with the fact that she was persistent and she wouldn't give up. And that's like what our prayer life should be. It should be persistent and unwavering until our prayer is answered. Not that we're doubting, but we're reassuring ourselves and we're declaring it again to him that we are trusting and standing on his word and his promises are true. But it's interesting. It's not the entire passage that caught my eye. It's just the first verse that starts before the parable happens that really went, whoa, to me. I don't think I've ever seen this before. It never stuck out. Luke 18, the first verse. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, before the parable even happened, before he gave the example of the parable, he was trying to say to all of us, we should always pray. Don't stop praying. But don't give up and believe that what God has promised will happen. Have you ever given up on a prayer? Have you ever given up on a promise? Don't give up. Keep believing. Have faith in the one that created the universe. Have faith in the one that created you and me. Surround yourself with people of faith that will agree. Now this morning, in front of you, are men and women at the altar of great faith. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to be surrounded by people who have the faith to believe for whatever your prayer is, or whatever the promise that hasn't come to fruition yet, you need to come down and bind your faith with them. I'm believing this morning that the things that you are praying for, will come and happen. They'll be like the people that believed with me, that when others said it will never happen, that they'll bind their faith with you to believe. And it doesn't matter what it is. Because our God, we don't limit our God. Our God is the God of the impossible. Is he not? So whatever it is, how little or how great it seems in your eyes, notice the words, your eyes, he is the God that healeth thee. He is the God that gave you a dream and a vision and a purpose before the foundations of the earth. He is the God that counted the hairs on your head. He is the God that will provide exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you can imagine. We got to stop looking with our senses and start believing in faith in who he truly is in Jesus Christ. So if that's you, if you need prayer, I'm 100% confident in these men and women that they have the faith to believe no matter what it is, no matter how long you've been waiting, no matter if you were like Jairus and all of a sudden stopped because you didn't feel maybe worthy because everyone else was getting their healing, their answer to prayer. I want you to come down and they will pray with you. If you have to leave this morning, I want to thank you for being here this morning. You can come right down right now. If you have to leave this morning, I want to thank you for being here this morning. I want to thank you for sharing this day with me and my family. I believe and I pray that you have a blessed week ahead. Always remember, if I can leave you with one thing this morning, don't give up, but believe. Have faith to believe in his promises and in who he is in Jesus Christ. I thank you. Have a blessed day if you must go. We're going to minister here at the altar.
You give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Were you blessed by the word? Thank you for staying with us and not leaving. We know we went over a little out of time today, but it was such a special moment. It's such a sacred day today, the installing of a pastor into ministry. So thank you for spending it with us this morning. Pray for Scott and his family as they have a new journey. But if you need prayer, come on down. We're going to dismiss you. If you want to hang around for a little bit, you can do that as well. Check the website. There's some great things happening, small groups going on that you can get involved in at all different times. Next Sunday, we'll continue back to our series of the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of things are happening in people's lives. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Have a great and safe week.